Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance. From God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I mentioned, we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, just highlighting verse 6 again. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you. If you weren't aware, it is now about 10 days ago, I think, that History Channel's hit reality show Alone had its season premiere. We have any Alone watchers in here? Hey, two of us. Maybe it's not such a big hit as they make it out. No, I know there are probably a few others, but Alone, if you're not familiar with the concept, it is a reality show of survival. However, they take people who are actual survivalists. I mean, people who know what they're doing. And they plop them in the middle of some wilderness. Maybe it's in the Arctic Circle. This year, they're in South Africa. They've been in South America. But it's always kind of extreme conditions. And they plop these 10 people into whatever wilderness they're in with 10 items that they can use to survive. And the idea is they need to just outlast the other 9. Sometimes it takes 60 days. Sometimes it takes 90 days. But all they have are those 10 items, and everything else they have to live off the land. One of the more fascinating things, I think, is the display of these survivalist skills that they have honed in some cases over decades. Like I say, these are people who actually know what they're doing. So it's fun to watch them as they deal with the situation, putting those skills to use. Even in many cases, you know, they're in this solitary situation where all they're left with are their own thoughts. And so every one of them has this kind of cathartic experience where they're confronted by their own fears, their own demons, so to speak, their own challenges, their own guilt sometimes. But I find fascinating in the skills themselves, the one basic skill that they all have to have is starting a fire. I mean, it would be kind of a waste of 10 items to bring a pack of matches along or a Bic lighter, though I suppose potentially you could. Most of them are good at literally rubbing sticks together. They call this, it's a bow drill with string, and they twist it back and forth, and you have to have just the right wood and grasses, and then just as soon as that little spark starts to take, they get down and they cover it up so the wind doesn't blow it out, and they kind of slowly blow on it, and then that flame starts to take hold of the tinder grass, and even then, they're still very careful with it. A lot of times, they pick it up in their hands, and they're holding it, slowly fanning that flame until finally they get a nice flame, and then they gently lay it back into the fire pit that they've created and gently add a little bit more over time. And very quickly, in some cases, a matter of minutes, that flame is dancing along nicely. And now they can do things like purify their water, cook the fish that they catch, smoke the animals that they hunt, all to be able to survive. Sometimes even use the fire to like create tools that they can use, kind of harden the wood to be able to like make shovels or even in some cases like silverware almost, like or forks and spoons and that kind of stuff. These are skills that in many cases they have passed down from generation to generation. Almost all of them tell the story of someone else in their life. Maybe it was a parent, a friend, a mentor, somebody who showed them some survival skills early on, and they were hooked. They had to know more about it, and they kept learning and growing and honing these skills. But for all their skills, as I said, one of the hardest things for them is this whole idea of being stuck with their own thoughts. I mean, they are truly alone. There is nobody else. In many cases, for miles around, it's just them. And of course, they have to film all this. So, to kind of keep their sanity, they talk out loud. And you wouldn't believe the stuff that comes out as people kind of have nothing else to talk about but their past, their present, their future. It's interesting to hear people talk about past guilts and past people that they have hurt, this cleansing experience that they have. But universal among the contestants is a sense of gratitude. They get to this point where they realize that there are people in their lives that have made it possible for them to be where they're at. And they acknowledge things that people have done, sacrifices that other people have made, all so that they can be where they're at. And they feel this sense of wanting to pass on what they're doing as an encouragement to others. Sometimes, many times, to their own children, and say, I want my children to see this courage, this skill, this put into practice. That's a long way to go, but it really is what Paul is talking about when he writes to Pastor Timothy here in our text for today. He's talking about this gift, this spark of faith that was created in Timothy that has been fanned into flame and now, like survivalist skills passed on from generation to generation, he's calling on Timothy to keep that flame of faith going by continuing to share that fire with people around him. In our text for today, in our gospel reading for today, we had an interesting account of Jesus. It says that at the end of the reading, you'll saw that he got back into the boat. To put this into context, Jesus has just come from the other side of the Sea of Galilee, where along the way across, he had calmed the storm. Quiet, be still. He gets to the other side, and here he's confronted by this man who is possessed by a demon. And in a spectacular way, the demons are cast out, and this man is healed to the point where people around him are terrified. But this man, what does he do? He pleads with Jesus to stay with Jesus, to travel with Jesus, to go do that mission work someplace else. You see what Jesus says? He says to him, return to your home and tell how much God has done for you. Jesus has just placed that spark of faith in the man's heart. And as it is fanned into flame, Jesus doesn't say, now go somewhere else. He says, no, go back to your home. Go back to your situation in life. Talk to the people around you. It's an interesting aftermath of this that is sometime later that Jesus comes back to this region where when he left, people were terrified of him. And when he came back, the crowds couldn't wait to greet him. It tells you what happened, that this man went out and he talked about Jesus, what God had done for him in Christ, and he shared it with others and it spread like wildfire. As Paul writes to Timothy, he reminds Timothy of where his faith came from. You can probably point to people in your life too. I mean, at some point, that spark of faith the Lord has placed in your heart or is in the process of placing it there. Maybe it was at your baptism. Maybe it was at a time where that first time that you heard that sweet message of forgiveness and grace in Christ Jesus. Or maybe you had always heard of this Jesus, you heard of it being a Savior, but it wasn't until some crisis moment in your life that you realized that you needed him to be your Savior too. Regardless, as Jesus became a part of your life, you all of a sudden realize that it's the Lord working through that message of Jesus Christ and through people around you that message has taken root in your heart, that you now have a hope, that they shared with them the hope, the reason for the hope that they have. They've passed on, like survivalist skills, that message of forgiveness and grace. Paul talked about it to Timothy. He said, I thank God whom I serve with a clean conscience as my ancestors did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. When I remember your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I remember your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm convinced that it also lives in you as it does in all of you. This gift of the fire of faith ignited in you, fanned into flame through the means of grace, that gospel in word and sacrament, through countless Lois's and Eunice's and mentors like Paul and friends and neighbors and people that you have trusted, people who have shared with you the hope that they have. This message that Paul summarizes, he says, he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, and it's now been revealed through the appearance of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Another aspect of that show alone, as I said, is that introspection that results from that solitary nature, that sense of appreciation that people have for what others have done for them. As Paul writes to Timothy, Paul's in prison. It's not for the first time. It will be the last time, because Paul won't live to see his release. And so as he's writing from prison to Timothy, many people have said that this is Paul's kind of last will and testament. It is the last book that Paul wrote. And Paul realizes that the end is near. And he could have taken this attitude, because it's been 30 years since the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples. Churches have been founded all over the Eastern Mediterranean. But now people are being persecuted. It's tough to be a Christian. Some people are going into hiding for their own safety. And Paul in prison could have just kind of said to Timothy, "You know what, Tim? It's been a good run. We gave it a shot. And now it's just all kind of coming to an end. So enjoy your final days and we'll see you on the other side." That's not what Paul writes. Paul acknowledges that the end is near, but there are still opportunities to be had. He says God does not give us a timid spirit, but a spirit of power. That even when it looks like the world is just chaos, even when it looks like we just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, even when we have questions about what God has in store for us, we know that this message of the gospel is in us. This fire of faith is burning brightly. And he says, pass it on. You know that old VBS song, "It only takes a spark to get a fire going. And soon all those around will be warmed by its glowing." I mean, that's such a beautiful picture of that message of grace. As it burns in us, as that fire is inflamed, as we share that spark of faith with those around us. Not somewhere across the world, but right here, maybe sitting next to you, maybe across the dinner table, maybe on the other end of a phone. Somebody in your life that needs to know that spark of faith, somebody that needs to hear that message of the gospel, to hear the same reason for the hope that you have. Paul writes, "For this reason I am reminding you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a timid spirit, but a spirit of power and love and sound judgment. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, join with me in suffering for the gospel while relying on the power of God." Because finally, that's the best way that we can honor the people who have shared Jesus with us, is to share Jesus with others. Right? The best way that we can give glory and gratitude back to the Lord for this message of salvation that we have is to share it with others. To focus on the mission that is right here before us now with undivided attention. A gift. The flame of faith gifted to you by God in his immeasurable love. Don't miss the opportunity. As the song says, it only takes a spark. Pass it on. Amen.